So we stop away discussing on a topic, understanding the gospel. Understanding the gospel. In this series, there's a message group that was first treated last year, around July last year.
Hallelujah.
So we'll look at it again. And this time we're looking at it is we are looking at how the gospel was preached in, or how the gospel was preached in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Understanding the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Quickly. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 15. It says, And from childhood, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, here Paul actually commends Timothy's intelligence in understanding scriptures. He uses the word wise, which is the word sophism, as used in 2 Peter 1, verse 16, where he said, we've not followed after cunning device. We've not followed after cunningly devised fables when we preached to you when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitness of his majesty. The word sophizo is the word which implies to be clever, to be smart, to be intelligent. That's the word, to be clever, to be intelligent. Now, Paul recommends Timothy's smartness, and he recognizes it on the fact that he understands salvation in Christ from the scriptures. He understands salvation in Christ from the scriptures. Hallelujah. But from the scriptures. Now, when we look at the word scriptures in verse 15, the word scriptures is the word grammar. It's the word grammar, which implies the content of a writing, the details of a writing, the content of the writing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, he says, in the content of the writing, and here we have the Old Testament in view. Then verse 16 says, all scriptures pass graphe. This is another word, graphe. Pass graphe. Graphe refers to a document. It refers to writing in itself, a document writing in itself. So when he said all graphe or past graphe, it will be used in context. Hallelujah. So when he says all graphe, it will mean all grammar, which is the content, which has to do with salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand me? He says the content, all grammar in verse 15. He said, all grammar is profitable for doctrine. Do you understand? All content which has salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, is profitable for doctrine. So when he uses all graphe, where would you find all graphe? All graphe will not mean
Genesis to Revelation, the word which has salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, says for teaching, for doctrine. That is the word didaskalia, which implies an explanation, a teaching. The word Paul will use in verse 10 of the same chapter, he says, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life. He uses it as my doctrine, my explanation. Meaning, Timothy has carefully followed his explanation. Chapter 4, verse 3, he will call it the same thing, sound doctrine. He says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Say, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. He uses it as sound teaching. Hallelujah. He uses it as sound teaching. In 1 Timothy 1:10, we have that same word used. 1 Timothy 4:1, 4:6, 4:13, 4:16. 1 Timothy 5:17, 1 Timothy 6:1 and 6 verse 3. So what is Paul saying here? Or what can we see from what Paul said? We can see that salvation can be thought from the Old Testament scriptures. Do you understand? Salvation can be thought from the Old Testament scriptures. Do you get that? Because, you know, Paul said Timothy understood salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, from the scriptures. So we can teach salvation in the Old Testament scriptures. Meaning the gospel will be found in the Old Testament writings. But the gospel will be found in the Old Testament writings. Romans chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4. Let's look at Romans 1. Romans 1 quickly. From verse 1 to 4. It says, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, a call to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. So which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. It says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. So he said in verse 1, he calls it the gospel of God. Hallelujah. He called it the gospel of God. And what did he call the gospel of God? Concerning Perry. He said concerning the Son Jesus Christ. Did you see that? So he calls it the gospel of God. And the gospel is concerning the Son. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? It's concerning the Son, concerning Christ Jesus. So the gospel was preached in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Through what? The prophet. Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 2. He said, God, who at various times and in sundry man and in God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet. By the prophet. Has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. The word all is past, which we have to look at it in context, which he has appointed heir of all the words of the prophets. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Say, through whom he made the whole world, or he made the world, rather. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Christ inherited the words of the prophets. Let's leave it at that, like this for now. So, the words of the prophet, you will find them talk about Christ. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So, Christ is the subject matter of the prophet. God who has sundry times, or God who has various times, and various is spoken in time past to the fathers by the prophet. And in this life, he has spoken to us through his son, whom he has appointed heir of all these words, the words of the prophet.
Did you get it? Hallelujah.
So the words of the prophet were the words of Christ. Did you get that? The words of the prophet were the words of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 also, just looking at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 15 also. Verses 3, it says, I deliver to you first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is to say, in the scriptures, referring to what the Old Testament in the background, we will have what Christ ministered, salvation, true faith in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, we could now say that the theme of the words of the prophet, the theme of the words of the prophet is Christ preached. The theme of the scripture is Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what are you saying? Salvation is the words of salvation was available in the Old Testament. The gospel was available in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. It was available. Or it was preached in the Old Testament. Let's put it that way. The gospel was preached in the Old Testament, making salvation available in the Old Testament. You see that? So salvation was available. The message of salvation was available. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus will say the same word in John chapter 5. John 5 verse 39. John 5:39. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. He said, you search the scriptures. You search the scriptures. The word there to search is the word that implies to investigate. You know something, investigate, meaning you investigate the scripture, thinking in them you have eternal life. But see this. Scriptures testify of me. Material should testify. Hallelujah. The scripture bore witness of me. When he says the scripture, it talks about from Genesis to Malachi, the words of the prophet. He said they bore witness of me. Now the word material implies to bear witness of an event or something. Hallelujah. To bear witness of an event. To bear witness of an event or something. To have a physical, like, let me use another word. Listen, I witnessed, for example, I witnessed the era of Mirinda, three orange men. Did you remember that? Now, I could say, I witnessed the era, meaning I was there available, right? You could pick it that way, I was available as at that era. Do you understand that? And you could also say like this, that I met it in place. Do you understand me? I met it in place. Now, the word material is used for something that one witnessed, something that one bore record of. Do you understand me? So we could now see that the scripture bore record of the fact that Christ is from the beginning, from the inception. Do you understand? Bore record of the message of Christ. See, they bore record of me. Meaning,
The message of Christ was even before the scripture. So the scripture just bore witness of that message, of that truth. Did you get that? So the scripture bore witness of that truth of Christ. Look at what John was saying in John 1:1.
You know, we're looking at John. Look at John 1:1. John said, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He uses the word logos for word. Logos. Logos is the word that implies first a plan or a thought pattern. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Logos. It is used for the conclusion or a message itself. So, meaning before the words were put down, before the scriptures were written, saying in the beginning was the message, was the word. Do you understand? So, he says, meaning the message of, okay. Here's what I wrote. I said, that shows that the message was from the inception. Meaning Christ is the message from the beginning. Logos, word. This is my message. Man of God will call it a body of truth. Message. Luke 24, verse 25 to 27.
Luke 24, verse 25 to 27. He says, and he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself.
Concerning himself. So, he said, the word of the prophet, before it was even written, was about Christ. So what would Jesus now do? He now called them from Genesis to Malachi and showed them how the scripture talks about himself. And that is the word he used. He called it expounded unto them. He expounded unto them in all the scripture that I mean you. It's the compound word dia and hemlis. Let's have it. Now, what dia means to cut through, to go through. Hallelujah. To go through. To cut through. Now, hemlis is the word that means to explain a language. So what did Jesus do? He went through the whole scripture, Genesis to Malachi, and he showed them that the scripture speaks about him. So he explained truth. And when he got through all the scriptures, and he showed them each by each for 40 days, that the scripture spoke about him. So he went through it and showed them what in the scripture spoke about him. So that shows you something. It shows you that the words, listen, it shows you something that from the words of Christ, it tells us something very important. That the Old Testament scripture needs to be explained. Listen that. It shows us that the Old Testament scripture needs to be explained.
Those are those things that need to be explained. Now let's see what Paul will call the Old Testament writings. In Romans chapter 15. Verse 25 into 26. Say, but now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. Verse 26. For it pleased those, sorry, what did I call? No, let's take Romans 16, sorry. Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25. He said, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. He said, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, by this prophetic scripture made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, say for obedience to the faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at what Paul said. Let's look at it again, verse 25. He said, now, so he who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, but now is made manifest by the prophetic scripture made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience through the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very important. Paul calls the message that it is from inception. Did you see that? He calls the message of Christ from inception. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Paul would now call the writings of the Old Testament mystery. Do you understand that? He would now call those writings what was documented mystery. That is the word mysterion. Mysterion. Mysterion is the word that implies a secret. Let's take this. It implies a secret. A truth that is hidden amongst facts. Remember, or take note, the facts are not the truth, but the truth is hidden amongst them. And that is an explanation of what mysterion is. And when you hear this word, it talks about the Old Testament scriptures. Now it says it's the truth hidden amongst facts. Do you understand me? Hidden amongst facts. Now, the fact cannot be the truth, but the truth is in it. The truth is hidden amongst those facts in the Old Testament writing. Do you understand me? So the truth is there. And if you look at the word mysterion from the root word, where it got it from, we have it to be something that needs explanation. So the truth hidden among those facts needs to be explained. The reason why Jesus will now go through the scriptures of 40 days explaining it. Do you understand me? And the truth amongst those facts is Him Himself, is Christ Himself. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So, the reason why we go through the scriptures, go through it to explain the scriptures, because it needs to be explained for you to see the truth, how it is hidden amongst those facts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take this. Most times, when the word mysterion is used, many a times, let's say 80% of the time, is used. It always has the Old Testament in the background. Meaning, The Old Testament is in view. If you look at it all through, you see that the Old Testament is in the background.
Hallelujah.
And also, when you find Paul talk about mysterion, within the context of that writer, you would have, you'll find the word revelation, apocalypsis. Apocalypsis is the word that implies to uncover. It's to uncover. To make known. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what Paul is saying here is that the gospel of Christ is the explanation of the scriptures. That's what Paul is saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at how Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians, the word mysterion. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He calls it the mystery which was hid. Let's see, chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. He calls it, we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. The hidden wisdom of God, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Hallelujah. For none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. For God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Glory to God. Now, we've received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. Now, we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. These things we speak, not in the words in which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches, compares spiritual with spiritual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Paul will call, use mystery here as something that is hidden. Hallelujah. But in Christ, it is made available. Hallelujah. By the preaching of the gospel, it is made available. Glory to God. If you look at chapter 4, verse 1, it uses the same thing. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says, let a man consider us a servant of Christ and steward of the mystery of God. So it calls, Paul calls the apostles, or the apostles are the steward, a word that is used for ministers. Do you understand? A word that is for ministers. Steward of the mystery of God. When he now calls it the mystery of God, he calls the steward of the explanations of the scriptures. Do you understand? So the mysteries, remember, mysteries has to do with the truth among the fact that needs to be explained, right? So the mysteries of God, meaning it is the apostles are the ones, the apostles are steward, that is, they are ministers. Of the explanation of the scriptures. Remember, the scriptures is in the background. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll look at this again as we get into the second session. We'll look at it more. Hallelujah. So, let's see. We find the same word in Ephesians 3, verse 3. Romans 16:25. We've read that. Colossians 1, verse 23. Ephesians 3, 7. We'll get to look at this scripture shortly. Again, hallelujah. But let's look at Ephesians 3, 3. If you observe Paul's writing, he will use the word revelation to make known in the surrounding text where you find the word mystery. This shows us Remember, we just read that the apostles are stewards of this. Hallelujah. We'll also look at that shortly now. They are the ones who have that is the role of the foundational apostle to explain it to us, to explain the mysteries of God to us. Do you understand? Very important. Now take note of this. You find that in Paul's writing, he uses the word revelation, the surrounding text, for mystery. When you find the word mystery, this shows us that it has been revealed. Do you understand that? It shows that it has been revealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So for Paul's explanation, the Old Testament's books are the mysteries. They are truth hidden amongst facts. We said that. And Paul calls his writings apocalypses. Look at that Ephesians chapter 3 quickly. We're still looking at it again. Ephesians 3. Now, verses 2 into 3. So if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mysteries, as I have written already. Do you understand me? By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles, who are prophets, referring to what the foundational apostles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul, listen to this. Paul will call his writing, he said, which I've written and called, will call his writings the epistles. He will call it apocalypsis. Do you understand? He will call it apocalypsis, which is the explanation. Hallelujah. The explanation. Meaning the epistles are the explanations of the truth amongst facts. Are the explanations of the Old Testament writings. The epistles explains this to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the explanations to the Old Testament writings is what we have today as the epistles. Do you understand me? The explanations to the Old Testament writings, what we have today as the epistles. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll keep studying. Do you understand? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 quickly. That 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we just read. Verses 6 into verse 10. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, it says, "But now has been revealed to them." God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For His Spirit charted all things, yet the deep things of God. When He said God has revealed them to us, remember, I was referring to the mysteries. Hallelujah. He was talking about the Old Testament, the writings, hallelujah, in verses 6, 7, 8, and 6, 7, 8, and 9. Was referring to what? He was referring to the writings of the Old Testament. Now in verse 10, those are the revealed to us. Now the word us there, he was talking about the apostles. Hallelujah. Was referring to the apostles. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he was referring to the apostles. Now, we can say he's been revealed to us because we read the epistles. Just simply. Because we read the epistles. That can be revealed to me too. But it were Paul, right? It was talking about the apostles. You understand? Hallelujah. Did you get that? Glory to God. So it's revealed to us because we read the epistles. What does this imply? This implies that the foundational apostles laid for us the foundation of the explanation of the Old Testament. My God, the word of God. This implies that the foundational apostles laid for us what we call the foundation of the explanation of the Old Testament. That's laid for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I read the epistles, I understand the writings of the prophets, right? I understand the words of the prophets. It is explained to me in the epistles. Glory to God. Very important. Very important. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Paul says something very important there. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. You know they had. Before we look at verse 5, look at verse 4. For they had contention over and for Paul and for Apollos. And then one says, I am of Paul. The other says, I'm of Apollos. Then are you not coming? Never Simon says, who is Paul? Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe. And the Lord gave to each one. Now, listen, say, I planted. You know, Paul was able to quickly differentiate. He knows his role. Hallelujah. As a foundational apostle. Say, I have planted. He said, Apollos watered. Hallelujah. He said, but the Lord gave the increase. Verse 7. So neither is he who plants, or neither he who plants is anything, or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. Do you understand me? They are one. Ministers. Hallelujah. They are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. Verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. Do you understand me? We are God's fellow workers. Did you get that? God's fellow workers. Glory to God. And you are God's field. You are God's building. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder. Now, Paul changes, or actually not really changes, Paul now tells us his role, or the role of the foundational apostles. Do you understand me? Which he is part of. Now, he now says, according to the grace which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed on how he built. Say, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is what? Christ. Do you understand me? So, the explanation is Christ. Do you understand me? Now, when you use the word foundation, is when he used the word foundation, he used the word temelios. Temelios. A word you will find in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. Are you there? He says, but why do you call me Lord and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stone beat vehemently against it, that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We also have the word again in verse 29. So the word temelios. Look at Luke 14. Verse 28 to 29. He said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Least after he has laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it at all. And he's not able to finish it. All who see it begin to mock him." Hallelujah. You find the same word too in Acts 16:26. Romans 15, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that was asked or think." I'm coming in a second. The word there. Don't worry, I will look at that later on. Hallelujah. Now, what Paul, the word temelios is the word that implies, is the word which implies what is stable. Listen, what is fixed and stable. You know what I mean? Something that is fixed and stable. Something fixed. Fixed and stable. That stays. Hallelujah. So, Paul was quick. Listen, Paul was quick to give the was quick or Paul was quick to separate the work of the foundational apostles when talking about himself and Apollos. Do you understand? He said, "I, Paul, plant, Apollos, water." Do you understand? He says, he calls himself a master builder. Do you understand? He said, "I've laid the foundation." Now, do you understand that? So that is the role of the apostles. The apostles, the foundational apostles, to lay the foundation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, if that's what we're discussing, Paul's conversation of identity. We say, "Paul!" But today, we're not discussing that. Glory to God. So, the apostles, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the next question will be, what is our role today in studying? God, does God still reveal mysteries to us? I know, and I use the word mysteries. Does God still reveal mysteries to us today from the Holy Spirit? Can one now have a personal revelation from God concerning the writings of the Old Testament? Can one receive an explanation to the Old Testament beyond what has been revealed? There was very important. Glory to God. Let's see that. He said, 1 Corinthians 3 again. Let's go back there. We use the words of Christ, of Paul. It says, verses 10. He says, "According to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, the earth, and another builds on it. But let everyone take it how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid." That is to say, number one, the foundation has been laid. Do you understand me? Very important. It has been laid. Glory to God. Which is what? Christ Jesus. Okay, let's move ahead. He says, "Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, wood, straw. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Hallelujah. So what is Paul saying? What is Paul saying? First of all, Paul said, our role is to build on it. Then now we're going to look at that critically now. Glory to God. Our role is to build on the foundation of the apostles. Now let's see what that building on the foundation of the apostles will mean. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. As we're opening there, now what will it mean? To build on it will now imply, let me say what I have here. He said, this implies us explaining the way it has been explained in the epistles. That's what it means to build on it. To explain it the way it has been explained in the epistles. You know, the foundation tells you how the house will be, right? The foundation tells you the kind of whatever you will build on it. You cannot have a foundation for bungalow and you build, and the foundation has only 4 rooms, and you are building a duplex with 30 rooms. Is it possible? It's not possible. Hallelujah. So the foundation tells you how you build. So the building of the foundation will not be the explanation of what has been laid, what has been given to us. Do you understand? And in Colossians, in Ephesians chapter 3, quickly. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Ephesians 3, 2. Now he said, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of God, the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you. Okay. Which is given to me for you. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already. By which, when you read, that is very important. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, number one, we said earlier that the building of the foundation will be the explanation the way it was explained to us. We are not called to start building to start laying another foundation. It has been laid. So we build on it with the explanation of the epistles. Right? That is the explanation. Now, he now says there that whereby which when you read, the word read is the word anaginosko. It implies a thorough reading, going over the details without skipping what was written or what was said. You go over the details again. Do you understand that? You go over the details. You don't skip, you read it between the lines. You don't skip the details. You don't skip what was written, what was said. Everything you explain, everything you read through, you read through. You know, the word is used by Jesus to question how the Pharisees, who were philosophers, who had master degrees, who were doctors, who were custodians of the Torah. For you to be a Pharisee, you must have the Torah. You should be able to recite the Torah by heart. You will know the Torah. Yes, sir. In fact, if you are to be a student of the Pharisees, the first thing you are handed over to, or before you are handed over with, it was the Torah. You go and memorize it. Do you understand? You go and memorize it. You must have it. Do you understand? You must know it. Now, Jesus Christ uses that word, anaginosko, to question the Pharisees on their wrong explanation. If you read Matthew chapter 12, verse 2, Matthew 12, 2. Matthew chapter 12, verse 2. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read that what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, have you not read? And had you not skill? Have you not read? Did you see it? Did you see it also? Look at verse 4. How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Have you not read? Need to people say you must not touch the showbread, just the priest. Have you not read that? Even David, you understand? Have you not read? Did you skip that detail? Need to read thoroughly. This is just to show you that what they have are just types and shadows. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Look at us. Nothing or otherwise. Or have you not read in the law? This is, have you not read again? But Jesus points out what they skipped. Have you not read again? In the law, on the Sabbath day, the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless. And are blameless. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was quoting from Numbers 28. Hallelujah. And a blameless. Have you already? Did you skip that one? Hallelujah. Did you understand? So it has to do with thorough reading. You find Jesus used that word again for them. Jesus used that word again for them in chapter 19, verse 4. Chapter 19, verse 4. And he answered and said to them, have you not read? Our read verses from verse 3. Yet the Pharisees also came to him, testing him, saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for no just reason? And he said, and he answered and said to them, have you not read? That he who made them at the beginning made them male and female. Did you see? Hallelujah. Have you not read? He who made them at the beginning made them male and female. And he said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no man puts asunder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is that that God joined together? God does not join a man and a woman together. Hallelujah. God doesn't do that. Even if he's done in the church, does not God. Hallelujah. He's the priest. Hallelujah. What does God join together? Hallelujah. We will be with God. That is automatically the man in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he questions them again in chapter 21, verse 16. 21:16. But when the chief priest and the scribe saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple said, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were angry. Verse 16. And he said to him, do you hear what these people are saying? Did you hear what they are saying? They were telling, did you hear what the people are saying? He has given praises. And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Have you not read? Out of the mouth of the babes and the nursing infant, you have perfected praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 22, verse 31. He says, but concerning the resurrection of the dead, now they came meeting him about a man who marries, and then the man dies, the wife is given to his brother, the brother died, and passed on to the seven brothers. Now say, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Very funny question. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, verse 29, and answered to them, you are mistaken, meaning you are carried out in error. You are mistaken, you err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given to marriage, but like the angels of God in the heavens. Hallelujah. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am Not I was. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you not met? And I do not see. Glory to God. You'll find it also in Mark 2, verse 25. Mark 2, verse 25. Mark 12, verse 10. Mark 12, verse 26. Mark 13, 14. Mark 13, 14. He also uses the word anagnosko, is used to show how the scriptures should be read. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. How the scriptures should be read. 2 Corinthians 1, 13. It says, we are not writing any other thing to you than that which you've read. Or understand. Now I trust you would understand even to the end that which you've read. Do you understand? That which you've read. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, instruct them to read. Colossians 4, 16. To read the epistles. To read the letter. Verse 16. Say, now, when this epistles is read, hallelujah. When it is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of, the church of the Laodiceans. And you likewise read the epistles from the Laodiceans. So it's what anagnosko. Genosko, rather. Anagnosko. To read. Read again. You know, that word anagnosko. It's not just to read, paying attention to the details, you read in context. Do you understand me? You read in context. You read in context, having the background in mind. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, so that you don't get mistaken like the Pharisees in Matthew 19 that came meeting Jesus to ask him. They came meeting in Matthew 19. That about the letter of divorce, he now tells them, hallelujah. He says, have you not read? Then they asked him again. They asked him again. In verse 18, he replied. He said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Do you understand? So, the reason why Moses would tell them, okay, to issue a letter of divorce was Moses reading their hearts today. Do you understand? That was their heart. That was what they had in their heart. That was their unbelief. So, Moses wrote to them their unbelief. Do you understand? So that alone tells you that in reading the scriptures, you must read in context. You must understand the background. Do you understand? You must understand what is being discussed. You pay attention to the way the prepositions are used. You pay attention to the way it is used. You pay attention to how the figure of speech is used and the explanation. Do you understand? You pay attention. This is called critical reading. Anagnosko. It's called critical reading. It's not flipping through. No. It's called critical reading. It shows how we should read our Bible. Hallelujah. You don't just flip the Bible and just read the verse. No. Just read the verse and then you read the comment in the devotion and then you are gone. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. No. It calls for serious concentration, concentrated reading. Serious one. When your heart, your mind, everything is involved in the reading. You read all truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That same word is used also in Thessalonians, the church. 1 Thessalonians 5, 27. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So our role is to critically
or is to study critically the epistles and explain the epistles. Is that wrong? Hallelujah. Is that wrong? To read and to explain what you've read. We are not, our role is not to go back and start catching rebel. David picked 5 stones representing J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. that's not our role. Hallelujah. In fact, in studying truth, a good Bible student pays attention to what is written in the epistles in explaining the Old Testament writings. So where the epistles are silent, you get silent there. You know that? You get silent there. You get silent there. Where the epistles are loud, you get loud there. Where they have a low tone, due to you have a low tone, you downplay. When they downplay, you downplay. You know that? Is you are following the way it was explained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses, David killed Goliath. He killed Goliath. What is that Goliath in your life? Do you understand? You already, that is not proper. That is lazy. That is a lazy preacher. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So we have a role. You know, Paul will not be writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy. Has to begin to round up in 2 Timothy. Paul begin to write to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. No, start from verse chapter 2, verse 2. He says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. He says, and the things which you've heard from me amongst many witnesses. It says, commit this to faithful men. It tells you to commit it to faithful men. Commit the same to faithful men. The word commit is the word paratitemi, which means to give. To it means to give. It implies to place forward. Do you understand? To place forward. What was given to you, what you have. Do you understand? So, what would Timothy place forward? The explanations of who? Of Paul. Do you understand? He will place forward the explanation of Paul. He will not try to go against or get. No. He will place it where Paul has placed it to him. Paul has taught him. Say the same way he said, you will commit to faithful men. He uses the word, he said the same, he said, you should commit to what? To faithful men. Who are faithful men? Faithful men are those who will do what he is doing. Hallelujah. Those who will do what he's doing. Those who will what? Stick to what has been taught. They are faithful men. Those who will stick to the explanation of the scriptures. Who will be able to teach others what? The same thing. You understand? The same thing. Hallelujah. You understand? So the Church of Christ, the local church, is a place where the scripture is taught the same way. You understand? It's taught the same way. The scripture is taught the same way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's where the scriptures is taught the same way. Paul in chapter 3, verse 10. Oh, that's the 2 Corinthians. Will not tell Timothy. Will not tell. He says, you have carefully followed. How did he follow? By committing. Do you understand that? By committing, by saying the way he was taught. Do you understand that? So you have carefully followed my teaching. He has followed it and he said in his explanations too. Hallelujah. In chapter 4, he will not tell him verse 2. He said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. What will he be preaching? The same thing. He will be preaching the same thing. He will stand faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we stand faithful in teaching Christ the way it was taught in the history from the Old Testament. So we stand faithful in our explanation. Hallelujah. We stand faithful in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We stand faithful. Irrespective of what people want to hear, Paul said they will develop each in this, but you stay faithful. Hallelujah. You stay faithful with the explanation of Christ from the scriptures. You stay faithful with the way it's explained. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? You stay faithful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, say I'm faithful in the preaching of Christ. From the scriptures. I say it the way it is explained in the scriptures. Hallelujah. We'll meet in the second.